Thank you so very much. Well, we are thankful for the opportunity to congregate again tonight on this Sunday evening, and we're grateful for each and every one of you that are present. When we think about a church, we think about a fact that obviously a church has influence, and influence doesn't just extend inside the church. It ought to extend outside the walls of the church. Obviously, we have to do more than just congregate. We congregate so that when we're finished, we can go out into the world and make a difference. And so as I think about the 60-year history of our church, we're a very blessed people in so many respects. And I just have to tell you that the influence of the Cleveland Baptist Church extends far beyond the shores of Lake Erie and obviously further west than the western border of Ohio and the eastern border of Ohio and the southern border of Ohio. It literally extends around the world. And in this missions conference that I was preaching for Brother Novi, almost every missionary that was a part of that conference came in and gave a testimony, had been influenced or touched by Cleveland Baptist Church in some form or fashion. And so it's a blessing. And so in this year of celebration, the 60th year of our history, we have decided that we're going to bring preachers in who are out pastoring churches. And of course, we've had three come thus far. And then, of course, today, Brother Jason Brennenstuhl. As already stated, Jason grew up here in this ministry, graduated from Christian school, went away to Bible college, was 10 years as a missionary to Zambia, and then has been back in the States for a number of years, and for the last several years been pastoring the Wildwood Baptist Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And it's a great place. I've had the opportunity to go up there and preach. Actually, when they were transitioning between pastors, I was invited to come up and speak to the church about pastoral transition. And we had a good time with the church family up there, and it was a blessing. So we're grateful that he's here. I heard they had a great service this morning. Looking forward to tonight. Brother Jason, come, and thank you so very much for giving of your time and taking away from your pulpit and your people today to be with us. We're appreciative. God bless you.
Thank you very much. You can turn over to the book of Genesis. Genesis, it is my honor to be here tonight. I am humbled to get this opportunity, and I want to say how grateful I am to Cleveland Baptist Church, to Heritage Christian School, to the teachers, Sunday school workers, junior church workers. Things like SMITE had a huge impact on my life, and we're implementing some of those things that we learned here through our teen group. We started a youth conference, and we have a print shop at our church, so we have access to signatures and covers, etc. And so the whole idea about SMITE is get the kids involved. You know, have fun and have a great time, but God can use teenagers. God can use people. And so instead of just having scavenger hunts and, blow up the balloon and throw the balloon around, we thought, well, let's have a collating time during our youth conference. So I talked to our printer and said, what do you think about having an hour where we take all the teenagers and we collate and have a contest to see how many we can do in an hour? And he said, so you want me to take 100 teenagers and turn them loose and have them collate scripture for an hour. You think that's a good idea? I said, yeah, it's a good idea. Let's try it, you know? And so the kids did it, and we did 11,000 in an hour. The next year, I said, you know, we could try it a little bit bigger, and we had 200 teenagers that year, and so we did 17,000 in an hour. Then I went down to Milford, and I videotaped their machine down there that prints the John and Romans. I said, you know, young people, we could beat the machine. Let's beat the machine. Now, we have I don't know what you call them here. We call them Salt and Light, but the ministry to the seasoned people. what is that? Young at Heart. Okay, so the Young at Heart. Now, the Young at Heart prepared all this for us. They would count every single piece of literature, every cover, everything, to make sure that the kids did it right, because this wasn't sloppy. We docked them if they got something wrong. So they did it right. They did it good. They made sure they paid attention. And we did. So the machine down in Milford does, I think, 24,000 in an hour. And I said, teens, we can do this. We can do this. In 1 hour, we can do this. They did in 30 minutes, 28,000 John and Romans they put together. They were hooping and hollering and screaming like it was a Super Bowl. It was so awesome to see young people excited about serving God. We said, all right, don't just put them together. Take them to the mission field. Now, I say that not to put any attention on us, but to say the things that I learned from Dan Wolven and Bob Folger and those on Smite way back in the 80s and 90s, that same philosophy stuck with me and carried all the way through to there. So we said, well, instead of just putting them together, why don't you take them to the mission field? We were talking on the lobby of our church late at night. Good ideas are always late at night. And I told the youth pastor, what do you think about taking 100 teenagers to Puerto Rico over a 100-day period of time? So we named it 100 Teens in 100 Days. And one of our missionaries just moved down there, lived down there for 3 months. We took 100 teenagers over the course of that time, passed on 104,000 John and Romans on the street, one by one. Ministered to, I think it was 7 different churches. We had a pastor's conference. We had all these things. And I say we. I'm not saying that for us. I'm saying the ministry continues on. The ministry continues on. It's seeds planted that you don't even know. I mean, the corn blew from this field over to a neighbor's field and planted a bunch of corn there. Well, this year we're looking at getting bearing precious seed down in Milford and then a couple other ministries involved. And we want to put together not only just collate, but staple and cut 50,000 in that period of time during our youth conference, and then send them over to the Eastern Bloc countries through your missionary from our church, Couriers for Christ, Don Sturts, who is over in the Eastern Bloc countries right now. They just got done with the campaign Friday, where they passed out 105,000 John and Romans on the street over 7 days, and then they had Bibles that they gave it out. Got an email from the missionary who they're working with saying how wonderful it was to say, open your Bibles to the text, and every church member had their own Bible. He said that hasn't happened since he got there. Now they have their own Bible. I say that to say, praise God, but I also say that to say, thank you, Cleveland Baptist Church, because the philosophies, the ideas, the principles were planted in me as a young person that had a lot of potential, but you couldn't see it. And you put up with me and put up with shenanigans of the Brennanstow family. Nervous chuckle there. Each one of you thought of something about Justin, didn't you? You're like, oh. But boy, oh boy, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. And it's not a matter of looking in the past. It's looking to the future. It's looking at what God can do from here. And I want to say, too, I know I'm taking a little bit more time here, but I want to say, too, that this church is also a very good example of transitioning. The longer I've been in the ministry and the more I've been able to enjoy our transition and be able to see the transition that happened here, the more grateful I am to the Lord for giving us a great pastor at Wildwood Baptist Church and then transitioning to myself, and then obviously Roy Thompson, and then Kevin Folger, and now Pete Folger, the transition. Churches don't do this. They just don't. People hold on and hold on and hold on until, they just hold on. Let's say it that way. And I really, really appreciate your pastor. I really appreciate your second pastor and your third pastor and all the pastors in between, and I just appreciate that forethought of looking ahead and looking at the future. Support him, get back behind him, and do everything you can, because God is glorified through Wildwood or Cleveland Baptist Church, Wildwood Baptist Church across the world for people who are being faithful. That's my introduction. All right, I'll go on. Genesis chapter number one. We had a good time this morning. I appreciate the amens. You are way more active than my church up in Oshkosh. I love my church. I really do. But they're Swedish and Norwegian and Germans, and about the only thing they can do is just nod their head. But at that point, I'm like, whoa, easy. That's too much excitement. Slow down. If we ever have somebody raise their hand during a song, oh, man, it's almost revival. So Genesis chapter number one. So I do appreciate that. I love my church. I love my folks, and we're doing well there. It does get above a 0 degrees sometimes, and so it's not too bad. Come up and visit us if you would like to. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and that phrase, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Subduing creation. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray in the next few moments that you give me the words to say. Very dear folks here, even though I haven't been back for many years, I know that the friendships that I have and the fellowship that we enjoy is ignited as if I was just yesterday. And I thank you for the good men, the good people, the folks who have stuck by the stump so many years over these tough times and good times and valleys and mountains. Lord, I pray that in a small way I'd be a blessing to them today. It is an honor. It truly is a humbling experience to be able to stand behind this pulpit. Thank you, God, for this place. Thank you, God, for my church back in Oshkosh. I pray that you'd bless them and encourage them. I pray that, God, you would help us to understand that we're not alone here, that there are other good churches out there that are striving and working and serving you, but most importantly, that today we would draw closer to thee. There's no way I could possibly reach all the needs that are represented that have walked in this room, but Jesus, you can. The Holy Spirit, you can. And I pray that that would be done. I pray that, God, you'd supernaturally empower me and that, God, you would get the glory for all that is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Subdue, harness, conquer, bring under, gain knowledge about. That is what that subduing creation. Most of the time we talk about this as a negative thing. We don't like to use the word submit in a wedding ceremony. I tell folks that if I'm counseling them and they've asked me to do the wedding, I say, look, you are going to say I will submit to my husband because that is a Christian marriage. And if you won't do that, then I won't perform the ceremony. We put that as a negative connotation, but it really isn't. It's a positive thing. I want us to see that it is an example of something that we can overcome. It's something that we can grasp. You think about it in this day and age of great knowledge. The people who have been the first to gain knowledge about chemicals, or the first to gain knowledge about science and physics. The first one to say how things happen, chemical reactions. The first one maybe to climb a mountain. I know we don't have a whole lot of mountains that people haven't climbed. But I like to read books on exploration. I like to read books on people who have had major discoveries. And I just got done with a book on a guy who was taken captive in World War II out of Poland, brought up to Moscow, tried for treason. Of course, it was trumped up charges. And they put him on a train. 3-week train ride across Russia, put him on a truck, 3-week truck drive up into Siberia, got off the truck another month on foot up into the northern reaches of Siberia. He gets out of the prison, escapes, and he walks to India. The title of the book is The Long Walk. No kidding. No kidding. But he harnessed it. He went out and got it. He struggled. He fought. I mean, how many like those survival books? How many like those books? I enjoy reading those books. I enjoy reading Ernest Shackleton and Endurance. This is a guy who said, I see something and I'm going to conquer it. We're like that as a people. Again, the first to climb a mountain, and then the first to climb the other side of the mountain, and then first to do it without a harness, and then without any food or equipment, or do it in a faster time, or the first woman to do it, or the first young person to do it, or the first old person to do it. It's something in man to subdue creation. It's something in man to go out and conquer. And I want to stop and say, the point of this message is, I hope that the bad news of today doesn't get you down. I hope that you don't walk in here discouraged. I hope that you walk out of here encouraged and excited, ready to accomplish something for God. I really hope that. We are a people like that. We try to find out how things happen. Young people, you ever wonder why we have a funny bone? My grandpa used to come over, and we'd go to his house in West Virginia. He'd say, come here, son, give me your elbow. And he'd go, and he'd hit my funny bone. I'm like, Grandpa, that hurts. He's like, I know. He's from West Virginia, I guess. It's okay, so. And I wonder, why does that happen? And so somebody researches it. They look at something around them. You know, there was a first person who wrote down how fast a cheetah runs. Can you imagine in your eye somebody sitting in the bushes and watching the cheetah, and he's running across, and he writes down, cheetah, faster than Bob. You'll get that in a minute. But what's my point? My point is somebody had to do that. Well, let's talk about us for a second. Us. To harness ourselves. Getting ourselves to act a certain way. Boy, I really appreciate the orchestra, but didn't they do a great job? Right on the fly, doing a different song, and I love doing that too in my church. I love shaking things up a little bit. And then you got the choir. I mean, that didn't just happen. It happened because somebody worked at it. Somebody trained themselves. Learning how to do something, a new language. Wow. That's difficult. A craft, an instrument. I was just talking to Pastor Folger about the beautiful auditorium we have here. And I know it's older to you, maybe 8, 9 years old, but it's new to me. It's the first time I saw it. A beautiful, beautiful place. I mean, craftsmanship, wonderful craftsmanship. Somebody subdued themselves in the sense of they taught themselves a trade and they worked at it. But getting something else to do something. Getting something else to go faster or go farther or go deeper. Again, the chemical reactions. You ever think about the things that we use that took somebody maybe a lifetime to come up with and think about and work on and focus on? Hairspray or deodorant, young people, deodorant. Remember that point, deodorant. But I have a couple of junior high kids in my house, and they think it's good that they don't use it. But somebody dedicated. I apologize for that. That was actually supposed to be an illustration later. I'll put that there then. Hope that wasn't real. But somebody dedicated their life. Oh, I've actually got stain remover down here, so stain remover. Somebody needs stain remover. But, you know, there is a spirit in man that wants to subdue. There's a spirit in man that wants to conquer. There's a spirit in man that wants to accomplish something. And this isn't even the first part of my notes, but what I want to also say is please be excited about life. Young people, I'm just burdened today. I'm burdened because we have a whole generation of young people that think it's the greatest accomplishment in the world to get the next level on a video game. Get a life! Come on! Have some ambition! I'm tired of the attitude in Christianity. Well, one is enough, and I'm just going to punch in the clock, and I'm just going to meander through life. Listen to me. 60 years of awesome miracles at Cleveland Baptist Church, but I hope that's nothing compared to the next 60. I hope that your vision is even bigger, that your desire is even bigger. But the first step is seeing the opportunity for potential. The first step is seeing opportunity for potential. Look at verse number 15 of chapter number 2. God put Adam in the garden. And the Bible says, verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The garden was a potential. I mean, think about all the things that he didn't know at the time. He didn't have any of these conveniences. He didn't have any buildings. He didn't have any mountains that he'd already climbed. It was all potential. It was all potential. Sunday school teachers, I hope when you have a kid walk in your room, you don't look at what he is, you look at what his potential is. When you see a bus kit, you see the potential of that bus kit. When you see a facility, I hope you think in terms of, what could God do with this facility? What could God do with my car? What could God do with my time? What is the potential? Somebody felt that for the first time. And they said, well, if I put up a sail, it can push a boat. They felt that wind on their face, and they said, maybe it can produce electricity. The potential had to be seen first. Somebody saw water. That was where I was supposed to come up with the water, but it's gone now, a little bit. Somebody saw a little bit of water. Someone saw this potential. There were no dams in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, but somebody saw water and said, we could dam it up. We could have it spill over the causeway. We could have it turn a turbine. We could have it create and produce the electrons. We could have the electrons go through the wires. You say, wow, do you see all that in there? Yes, I do, because all of it stemmed from there. It all was potential at that time. Also, I won't light them, but we got matches here. Pastor Pete said he smoked, but Pastor Kevin doesn't, so... joking. I'm joking. A little. No. Somebody saw that. They saw fire. And they said, what can that do? What can that do? That could possibly cook a meal. That could possibly run an engine. That could possibly explode. That could possibly have heat. That could possibly do so many things, because they saw the potential. They saw the potential. You ever think about what else could be discovered? What else could be done? What else? What other ministry could possibly be put into Cleveland Baptist Church? You say, oh, we are too busy. I don't think we're busy enough. I don't think we have enough out there. There's still maybe a Russian out there that can't speak English and he needs to be reached. I'm not getting after you at all. I'm not mad at you at all. I'm saying, how about we get excited about the next thing? Now, it may not be me particularly being involved in it, but it might be somebody else being involved, and I could pray for that. How exciting can... When I asked that youth pastor, hey, what do you think about taking 100 teenagers to Puerto Rico? Let me just say, he wasn't all that excited about it. He thought I'd lost my mind. It'd probably scare you if you asked Pastor Pete what his plans are. Praise God for people that can see potential. The potential. Now look at verse 29 and 30. Verse 29 and 30. The second step is realizing that the purpose requires pain. The purpose requires pain. There has to be some pain involved. There has to be some sacrifice involved. There has to be some loss involved. And I don't think I'm stretching it too much. The Bible says in verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And then verse 30 talks about how the cattle ate the grass. And I'm not trying to be, stretching the thing anyway. All I'm saying is that somebody had to eat the pears, and somebody ate the grass, and somebody ate the fruit, and somebody ate the vegetables. And after you eat the vegetables, they're not there anymore. So you don't have the vegetable. You have the vegetables at the beginning, and you don't have them at the end. And so something had to be at a loss. Something had to be lost. Something had to be used. I'm not saying that the vegetables necessarily died, because they didn't have a soul, of course. But what's the point here? The point here is God gave it, and they used it, and it produced something great. I'm at a loss sometimes at helping people in their marriage, or helping people with their children, or helping people with their life, because we've lost this concept today that to achieve anything, it's going to cost us something. It's going to be involved some sacrifice on our part. I'm not sure where the philosophy of raising children has come from, where we just let them go and somehow they'll find their own way. I'm not sure where it has come where we've tolerated talking back. I'm not sure where it's come from, where we said, well, I need to go and defend any time my child has been offended. I need to go and question that teacher and question that coach and question that music director. And I need to get in their face and say, why did you focus on my child? Where has that come from? My parents never did that. They never did that. They said, if you get spanked at school, you're going to get spanked at home. And they said, and I said, well, what if you don't know the whole story? I don't need to know the whole story. I don't need to know any story. I don't care. If there's an authority, you're going to obey them. There has to be some loss. There has to be some sacrifice. There has to be some suffering. There is no progress without sacrifice. There's none. And it's exciting. It's exciting when you see folks who they say, well, I'm going to become a missionary, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to work. Boy, I tell you what, I was a missionary. I worked at it. I went on deputation. I praise God for the missionaries. It is difficult. Don't tell the missionary when he comes back, maybe you send him out on deputation, he comes back. Don't say, so how was your vacation? Don't say that. They'll smile at you, but they don't mean it. Don't say that, because it's hard. It's difficult. But what's sad is that I don't know this for fact, but it's batted around independent Baptist circles that the average missionary only lasts one term on the field. We've lost our idea that it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us a sacrifice. Adoniram Judson said, there's no success without sacrifice. If you succeed without sacrifice, it is because someone suffered before you. If you sacrifice without success, it is because someone will succeed after you. It's a good quote. I know it's a long quote, but it's a good quote. Young people, I don't want to stay on this the whole night, but listen to me. It's going to take some sacrifice to get advanced in life. It's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some work. And listen, go home and say thank you to your parents for their sacrifice. And please understand too, young people, it is not a sacrifice to go to Heritage Christian School instead of the public school. Oh, Pastor, they call me Pastor B in my church. Oh, Pastor B, this is so difficult. I mean, I have to give up all these, you know, sports that I could be involved in. You're not that good anyway. I have to give up all this. I have to give up unfettered access to the internet. I have to give up all these things that my friends have. And I have to go to youth group, and I have to go to Heritage Christian School, and I have to practice my trumpet. Oh, my life is so hard. You should thank God for those things. You should appreciate those things. That's not really the work that I'm talking about. What I am talking about is it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. You might have to say no to your boyfriend and no to your girlfriend. You may have to, Dad, say no to cable for a while. You may have to make some choices, make some decisions that are difficult to reach something of success. And praise God that this is an example of it all around us. People who sacrifice, people who work, people who did it, and it's going to take that in the future. So it's going to take some sacrifice. Third step is provided in the present. What was it that Adam was supposed to do right out of the gate? Look at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 19. Now, as you have this potential, and as you realize that it's just going to take some work, it's just going to take some time, it's just going to take some sacrifice. Verse 19, it says, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Before he was able to climb a mountain, before his ancestors were able to invent a cell phone, before all of that, God said, here's a job to do. Here's something right in front of you. And in my experience of the Christian life, you may have a big mountain to climb. You may have some big thing you're praying about, but God normally says, okay, that's there, but I want you to take step one. I want you to do something today. I want you to do some basic thing right now. Before you do the complicated, do the simple. And God tells Adam, I want you to name the animals. Do the job right in front of you to the best of your ability. Boy, I praise God for Ron Nelson, for Dave Cook, for Dan Wolven, for Bob Mack, all men in my life who came along and helped me at different stages of my life. Of course, I praise God for my parents. These people, yes, they've done great things, but I don't remember the great thing that they did. In fact, I don't remember any sermon that they preached. I can only really remember one sermon by Roy Thompson, and that was the night that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Right back there, second row from the back, he preached about no man putting his hand to the plow is, and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God and the call to the ministry. And I came down here and gave my life to Jesus Christ. I don't really remember the big things. I just simply remember the day-to-day things. Coming down Bidoff Road, there at the corner of Bidoff and Tiedemann, all those big pine trees, I got my picture taken in the soccer team at that corner when those pine trees were lower than us. They were about this high. And I was 5 in that picture. No, wow. You get it. Anyway. But you know what I remember? I remember the little things. I remember the day-to-day things. I remember the coming to youth group and Brother Wolven just simply preaching the gospel each time. He may not have made a huge impression on day one, but boy, he made a huge impression over the long haul. And Adam does his job. He names the animals. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Each animal was distinct. Each animal had different potential, different abilities, different talents, different purposes. Some were for strength, some were for beauty, some were for food for somebody else eventually. But Adam did his job. Adam did it thoroughly. Adam did everything he was supposed to do. Adam learned a lot in the process. Adam did his job. And boy, I encourage you, as we have a great vision for God, please have a great vision for God. But the day-to-day is really where it's at. Do what's in front of you to the best of your ability. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I hope God is speaking to you, young people. And I hope that you have as your heroes, your pastors, your teachers, the missionaries that grace this pulpit. But I'm telling you, the only way to get to that point is study for that test you got tomorrow. Do what you're supposed to do today. Play that trumpet the best of your ability. Teach that Sunday school class to the best of your ability. I know it gets to be a drudgery. I know it gets old and you lose your patience. But do right even today. It is so important in those little things. Your life may depend upon it, actually. I was a little kid. I don't know how old I was. Probably 10, maybe 8. And my dad trusted me with the breaker box. He was doing some electrical work in the second floor. And I was down in the first floor, and he's yelling down to me, turn it on, turn it off, and all that stuff. And this is an illustration. You better pay attention to details and do your job right. I mean, I had one job. I was just standing in front of the breaker box. And he said, make sure the power's not on. Well, I've missed a word. I missed the word not. I heard him say, make sure the power's on. So I made sure the power's on. He said, is it all right? Yep, it's fine. Whole house, wow, wow. He came downstairs like this, shaking the top of the screwdrivers all bent to the side. One job. We got one job. We got the job in front of us. Do your job. Do your job. The fourth step is what he learned after he named those animals. Verse number 18 of Genesis chapter number 2. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. The fourth step is perceiving that we need a partner. We need a partner. You need help. Adam, as perfect as he was, still needed a helper. He still needed somebody to come alongside him and help him. He couldn't go it alone. You think about the great things that men have accomplished, women have accomplished. They didn't do it on their own. I love to read, again, these survival books and these guys who went across Antarctica or circumnavigated the globe. There was always support personnel. There was always somebody walking along them. There was a cook. There was somebody who was getting money together. There was people who were, benefactors funding the expedition, relatives at home, people that were helping them along the way. Subduing is not the work of he-men. This Christianity is not a go-it-alone thing. It is not something that you can just push ahead and try harder. I mean, I'm from the old school. If you can't do it well, just hit it with a hammer. Just try harder. Just work harder. But I tell you what, that's probably been the biggest lesson that I should have learned here in high school and watching everybody. And then I should have learned in college because they certainly tried to teach it to me. But it was a hard knocks lesson to learn. I cannot do it by myself. It's not just a matter of putting your head down and trying harder. Sometimes, in fact, most times, you need to raise your hand and say, please help me. Please help me. And that's what we can do together is all of us together say, help us. Please understand that if you've got a problem in your marriage, you are not alone. You're not the first one to have that. Ask for help. Oh, what would they think? They would think you're just like them. That's what they would think. We need to ask for help. What does the Bible say? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We need our wife. Children, you need good parents. Church, you need the body of believers to help. We think that we can go it alone. And then the fifth step. Turn back to Genesis 1, now verse number 31. The fifth step, Genesis 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The fifth step is realizing that the true profit comes only after something is being used and pressed into subjection. You say, what are you talking about? Well, here was a beautiful creation, and God said, this is good, and then he said, it is very good, but from those things, man took those and made something, and I don't want to use the word better because it's somehow slight on God, but it's not, but it's using those things, and so we use those things, and now we have the seats in front of us, the cars that we drive, the airplanes that we have in front of us. It was harnessing those things. It was grabbing those things. It was pressing those things into subjection. The horse is far more efficient and far more useful after it is subdued than before. A wild horse is not good for much, but after it's been broken and harnessed, it is far more useful. The trained fingers of a musician, a master violinist, are much more valuable than the man who refuses to work and lives on the street. It's when you work on it, when you sacrifice for it. I brought a illustration with me. I tell my kids that if it's not good material, you bring a prop. So I guess this is not good material. But somebody saw a stick. And obviously this was, the Bible says, God called this good and he called it very good. And then, of course, man's curse came. But still, God's creation is a wonderful thing. I can't believe anybody would believe in evolution. But this is a wonderful thing. But somebody looked at this and said, what can I do with this? What can I do with what God has declared very good? And somebody said, well, I can use it for fire. I can use it for perhaps shelter. I can use it for paper. And then maybe I can even make something nicer out of it. And somebody made one of these. Now, not out of that, but somebody made one of these. This is harnessing what God has given to us. This is controlling and working on and striving to make this as best it possibly can be. I don't want any slight on God and or a slight on man or slight on God or slight on anything, but here's an illustration of when Tom Malone was up in Michigan and they had a celebration for him. And they had these pictures up of the ministry, and they had a picture of the empty field, and then they had a picture of the church building in that empty field. And please don't get offended when I say this, okay? Please. But a man said, this is a picture of before Tom Malone had this, and this is a picture of when Tom Malone had it. Now, God did it all. But what can you do for God's glory by taking what he has given to us and harnessing it? What could you do for God's glory by taking what he has given to us and harnessing it? And somebody said, well, I'll make something out of this, but then I'll make something even better. I'll make this one. And then I'll make something even better. And I'll make this one. And then I'll get something even better. And I'll make this one. And I'll make something even better. Nope. Justin took it out. Dirty rat. But you know, I know you might be frustrated. I know you might be discouraged. I know you might say, I'm 50 years old, or I'm 40 years old, or I've got this situation, and I don't want to belittle your trials, your tribulations. I don't want to belittle the struggles that you go through. You might have been diagnosed with depression. You might have taken a whole litany of drugs. You may have all these things that you have to sort out, and I am not a medical doctor, and I'm not telling you what to do or not to do with those things, but what I want you to do is live above the circumstances and say, God can use me in the situation I'm in now. I'm going to live above the circumstances. I'm going to take what God has given to me and work as hard as I possibly can and give it back to God and produce something even better out of my life. Now, the key, though, to that is the last thing. The key is, turn over to Romans chapter 12. The key is giving that over to God. Giving that over to God. When you put your life into God's hands, many secular people have done wonderful things. Secular people have done awesome things, things that would defy what we could imagine. Jessica Cox, she's an airline pilot. She plays the piano. She drives a car, but she was born without arms. Jack Andraka developed a He developed a promising early detection test for pancreatic cancer before he was 16. Christina Stevens built a prosthetic leg out of Legos. James Holman circumnavigated the globe in 1832 as a blind man. And Kyle Maynard climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, but he was born without arms or legs. Secular people do awesome things because they harness what God has given to them and they use it to the best of their ability. How much more could a Christian do? How much more could a godly teenager, a godly husband, a godly wife? You don't know my situation, Pastor. You don't know my teenager. You don't know my spouse. You don't know my finances. You're right, I don't know, but God does. God does. Never give up hope. Never give up hope. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What are the lessons to learn from this? God has made man incredibly talented and gifted. You have a mind, a heart, head, limbs, fingers, toes, time, experience, background, personality. You are perfectly suited to do great things for God in this life. You're perfectly suited to conquer and subdue the life around you. You can make a masterpiece out of your life. You really can. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Do not let the devil or circumstances or life control you or dictate to you what you will or will not do. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Given over to God, allowing God to give you his spirit and his power, will make you and help you go even farther. It is amazing what God can do when we give all the pieces to him. Very simple message, very simple concept. But don't miss this. As good as creation was, it still needed mankind to subdue it. A perfect situation. And God said, I want you to take what I have, and I want you to make it better. I want you to subdue it. Now, I don't understand all the ramifications of that. But what I do know is that God trusts us a whole lot more than we trust ourselves. And he thinks we can accomplish great things. And that's why he's given to us right in front of us. It is amazing what God can do with people if they will just give their lives over to God's hands and say, God, you see the potential in me. I want to see the potential in me. I want to see the potential in others. And this isn't a bunch of thinking about, oh, you got to look in the mirror and say I'm handsome. Now, some of it is true, but it's not a matter of doing that. What it is a matter of doing is praise God for the opportunity I have to serve him. Praise God for this church that we have. Praise God for the opportunities that we have in the future. With your help, we can do it. Lord Jesus, please. Help us, I pray, to see the great potential, to see the great